The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trump, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, before we get into things, remember, you can always go to katietropp.net, hit the Sports Talk with Trop tab, and you will see at the top of that page, Sports Talk with Trop's preferred sports books. Click on that, and you will find some sports books that I am associated with that you could sign up for in participating states, of course, because, you know, not every state allows you to gamble online, but if you are in a participating state, you could go ahead and check those out and sign up for a few different sports books if you are into sports gambling. All right, well, let's get into the week of baseball because we have some young dudes who have been coming up in the league the last couple of seasons. They have a lot of high expectations coming into the league as well, and so far, a lot of them are actually living up to those expectations, and now the young guns are actually taking over, especially this week in baseball. We did have a couple of veterans show out, of course, but this week it was really all about the young cats. So let's start off with Monday night, and the Cincinnati Reds smashed the Miami Marlins 10-3, and this game was all about Ellie De La Cruz. You know, I've been talking about him the last couple of seasons. He's been living up to all the hype since he was brought up with the Reds, and against the Marlins, he went 4-for-5 with 2 home runs, and he became the third Cincinnati Red in the franchise's history to hit for 20 home runs and 50 stolen bases in a season. So that just goes to show you that not only is he living up to the expectations and the hype, but he's, I would say, actually far exceeding them, just because when you start to hit franchise numbers or record MLB numbers, that says a lot, especially in that direction. But, you know, that he's been having a phenomenal year and definitely has been one of the only bright spots for the Cincinnati Reds over the last couple of years. Then on Tuesday, the Chicago White Sox finally stopped the bleeding and they finally got a win over the Oakland A's 5-1 and ended their 21-game losing streak. If they hit 22, it actually would have been the Major League Baseball league record. But now they are just now tied with the Baltimore Orioles of 1988 to go 21 games in a row without a win. That must have been terrible. I got to say, though, the Oakland A's kind of did it to themselves, just because before the game started, they were actually trolling the Chicago White Sox with a Taylor Swift song called 22. A song I love, by the way. But I kind of feel like, and you know, they were obviously trolling them to say, ha ha, you're going to lose 22 games in a row, but they did not. They actually won in surprising fashion, but you know, it must have been pretty difficult to be a part of that 21-game losing streak, that's for sure. Then on Wednesday, the Philadelphia Phillies beat the Dodgers 9-4, and Kyle Schwarber, he has been going off since the month of June. He went 4-for-4 with 3 home runs and 7 RBI. Now, I know we're talking about the young guys this week in baseball, but Schwarber's been around for a minute, and this guy is just smashing home runs, and he's been smashing home runs basically since he hit the major leagues. But this was only the second time in his career he's had 3 home runs in one game, and he went 4-for-4, so he was on some that night. And you know, this is against a pretty good Dodgers team as well. So not only a big win, but just a huge night from Kyle Schwarber. Then also on Wednesday night, another young guy with the Kansas City Royals. The Royals got the win over the Boston Red Sox 8-4. But Bobby Witt Jr., another guy I've been talking about over the last couple of seasons, he went 3-for-4 with 2 home runs and 4 RBI, and he just continues his absolute domination this year as well. Right up there with Ellie De La Cruz. But I mean, the Kansas City Royals, they are actually in playoff contention right now. So they are not only getting a lot of production from the young guys, because Pasquantino, he's also continuing his hot streak as well. The Kansas City Royals actually look like a pretty decent team who could potentially make a little run, not only the second half of the season, but possibly through the postseason as well. Then on Thursday night, another young guy for the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, the Milwaukee Brewers, they killed the Atlanta Braves. Not only last night, 16-7. Yeah, 16-7. That's like a football score right there. That's a low-scoring football game right there. But the Brewers, 16-7 over the Atlanta Braves. But it was all about their young guy, Jackson Churio. He had two home runs. He actually became the youngest player in Milwaukee Brewers franchise history to hit two home runs at 20 years old. And that beats Hank Aaron. Yeah, that beats a guy named Hank Aaron, one of the greatest to ever do it. So not saying that Jackson Churio is going to go on and have the type of career that Hank Aaron did, but to actually beat a record that Hank Aaron set, that says a lot about you. And he's only 20 years old, so who knows what's going on with this guy. But, I mean, the Brewers, they just dominated the Braves, not only in this game, but in this series. I mean, they just, it was a complete demolition. And, I mean, that's what you're getting with the Brewers this season is, like, offensively, they are a force. But their pitching sometimes will let them down, and they're just a very streaky team. But we'll see with Jackson Churio if he's able to help propel this team on into a nice little postseason run. So speaking of the postseason, let's take a look at the playoff picture as it looks this week. Starting with the American League, right now, still at number one, the number one overall seed would be the Cleveland Guardians. Even though they are not having a good week here, they still are leading the AL Central, but they're also the top team in the American League as well. And they currently hold a 3.5-game lead over the Minnesota Twins in the Central. Then the number two seed right now it would be the Baltimore Orioles, who are tied for the lead with the New York Yankees in the American League East. But right now, the Baltimore Orioles have the tiebreaker, so they're technically leading the division. And then in the American League West, the Houston Astros are tied with the Seattle Mariners for the lead in that division. And technically, the Houston Astros own the tiebreaker in that one. So they would actually have the number three overall seed. And so the wild card teams would be the New York Yankees, the Minnesota Twins, and the Kansas City Royals right now. And then the National League, the number one overall seed would be the Philadelphia Phillies. They lead the National League East right now by 8 games over the New York Mets. So I kind of feel like the Phillies have smooth sailing unless they completely collapse here on this division. But it's looking like they got this division on lockdown already. And then the number two seed would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. They have a 2.5-game lead over the San Diego Padres for the National League West. And then the National League Central right now is dominated by the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a 7-game lead over the St. Louis Cardinals. And so that wild card right now for the National League would be the San Diego Padres, the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are really starting to get hot, and the New York Mets. We'll see if they're able to hang on to that, because we all know that the Mets are just such a choke fest of a team that I would not be shocked to see them just completely fall apart over the next month and a half, or just kind of go on a nice little run here and then fall apart at some point in September. But who knows? And then you look at the Diamondbacks and the Padres. The Padres are actually one of the hottest teams in the league right now. And the Diamondbacks as well, they really are starting to get going. So we'll see what we've got going on. I mean, it's August 9th, so we've got quite a bit could change between now and the playoffs, but that's how it's looking right now. So moving on to the NFL, and just a little bit of news is trickling in since, you know, training camps are going on. But it's official. This has been kind of something that's been going on since last season. But it is now official that Brandon Ayuk is more likely going to be traded from the 49ers rather than get a long-term deal. It just kind of feels like, you know, they've been playing chicken since last season about his contract. And then it's just been kind of that leading all the way up to training camp. You know, he's been participating in training camp, not holding out or anything. But it's just as of this week now, they are officially talking about how it's looking like at some point he is going to be traded. I would say at least before the season, but you really don't know because this has always been a very up in the air type of situation. And the Niners really do hold, they really do hold all the cards in this one because they franchise him this season. Then they could franchise him next year, and then they could either A, get rid of him or finally sign him to a long-term contract. So they really could keep doing this through next season if they want to. But, I mean, it just kind of, this week, everybody's openly discussing that it's looking more and more like Brandon Ayuk's about to be traded. Who knows? There's been a couple of teams interested, of course, but it doesn't seem like either the Niners or Ayuk himself is actually interested in being traded to certain teams or whatnot. So we'll see if he ends up being traded at some point between now and the trade deadline. I would say this is going to be something discussed until he gets traded, basically, would be my guess. But, you know, he's a good receiver. He's been a huge asset to the San Francisco 49ers, that's for damn sure. And I feel like whoever trades for him is getting a really solid receiver. So you can't be mad at Ayuk for wanting to get his money, and you also can't be mad at the Niners because they also have a bunch of guys coming up for contract as well, and you only have so much money to give out. And with that being said, this is the first official weekend of preseason football. You know, it started actually last night with a couple of games. Drake May for the New England Patriots, he's a rookie, and he got to start last night and didn't look that great for him. But, you know, this is preseason. You can take everything about preseason with a grain of salt because it doesn't matter at all. I mean, there's teams that go undefeated in the preseason and then have a terrible regular season. And then there's teams who don't win a game in the regular or in the preseason and then go on to have a fantastic regular season or go on to even win the Super Bowl. So preseason really doesn't matter at all. It's just if you are a football fan, it's nice that we can finally turn on the TV and NFL football is going to be there. It does look like we're going to get to see a little bit of Caleb Williams out playing for the Bears this week. Then, it's looking like the Kansas City Chiefs starters are also going to be playing. At least it looks like Andy Reid said one or two series in the Kansas City Chiefs preseason game. So, hell, even the veterans are going to be getting some playing time, which is pretty rare these days. But like I said, this is just the beginning of it all, and I am here for it. So, yes, NFL football is finally here. All right, so let's get into the top five list this week. And since the Chicago White Sox finally busted their 21-game losing streak, I decided to have a little fun with this week's top five. And we are going to do the top five losing streaks because there have actually been quite a few. It was kind of difficult to whittle this down. There's actually one losing streak on here that will get mentioned. I'll talk about it at some point when we're comparing it with another losing streak on this list. But there were quite a few embarrassing losing streaks that could have made this. But I definitely wanted to sprinkle in from each of the major sports, NBA, MLB, and NFL. But the majority of this is actually football. And the reason why is because some of these losing streaks span numerous seasons, not just one season. But numerous seasons, whereas in the NBA and baseball, it is difficult. I mean, what the Chicago White Sox just did by losing 21 games in a row, it's just unfathomable. That's how terrible they are. And so, when you hear that, it's terrible. I mean, but they still at least win here and there, whereas there's been some football seasons where some teams haven't even won one game at all. So a lot of this is NFL football because they span a couple of seasons, but we do have some terrible losing streaks that happen in the NBA and MLB as well. So let's get it started with the top five losing streaks at number five. This one actually just happened this season, and it's the Detroit Pistons. This season for the Detroit Pistons was literally their worst in their franchise history, but also the worst losing streak in NBA history. They lost 28 straight games in a row. And let me tell you, as a person who lived through this, Because actually, all of these losing streaks that we're talking about, except for two of them, I actually did get to experience. And when you're experiencing these losing streaks, you just sit there and go like, damn, this not only is it terrible if you are a fan of that team, but it's terrible to watch and I'm not a fan of a team. Now, I do think it's hilarious to see people fail. And I do think it's funny to see teams go on losing streaks. It actually makes me laugh if it's not my team. So I did actually enjoy this Detroit Pistons losing streak. I found it hilarious at times. But, man, you gotta wonder how all these players feel and how it finally feels to even just get a win, because it's just got to be terrible to have the cameras on you every single loss. And it's like, okay, are you guys ever going to win one? So this losing streak began on October 30th, game four of this season. And this losing streak, 28 straight games, went from October 30th to December 30th. Yeah, that's right. This team went two whole months without a win. As a matter of fact, they had the worst month in NBA history in the month of November by going 0-15, not even winning one game in the month of November. And they ended up with their worst franchise record ever for a regular season. They only won 14 games on the season. They went 14-68 on the season. So yeah, it was a terrible season for the Detroit Pistons, but this 28-game losing streak was so bad that it is an NBA record. And that just happened this year. So that's why they made the list. Then at number four on my top five losing streaks, we have the 1988 Baltimore Orioles. This is the losing streak that the Chicago White Sox tied this year. Now, why do I think this 21-game losing streak was worse than the Chicago White Sox? Well, that's because this is how the Baltimore Orioles started the season off. They went 0-21 to start the season. I mean, you got to be sitting there like, are we ever fucking getting a win? Their first win came on April 29th. So they went a whole freaking month without even having hopes of a win. And it was actually one of their worst seasons. I mean, you got to imagine starting the season off 0-21, that you're not going to do anything. Well, they ended up, their record ended up being 54-107. But to me, the reason why this one was worse than what the Chicago White Sox did this year is because the Chicago White Sox, it was in the middle of the season. You know, the White Sox, they've pretty much been a terrible team all season long. And so we weren't really shocked at that. But to start the season off 0-21, that's got to be disheartening, because you just know your team is just not in any way, shape, or form going to turn that shit around. I mean, there's just no way you could do that. Then number three on my top five losing streaks, the 2020-2021 Jacksonville Jaguars. They went on a 20-game losing streak, and this was so pathetic because it did span through two seasons. Beginning in 2020, when they only won the first game of the season and would go on to lose 15 straight games and go 1-15 on that season. So they won week one and never won the fuck again in that season. So, of course, the Jaguars get the number one overall pick heading into the 2021 season. And this was a very tumultuous season, if you recall. Urban Meyer was their coach, and it started off not only tumultuous because they started off the season 0-5 and would end up 3-14 overall on the season, and would end up with the first overall pick yet again that year. But Urban Meyer would ultimately end up getting fired mid-season because he was just such an embarrassment as a coach, really didn't take the job seriously, was just there to cash in his big-ass paycheck. But it was a very, I just remember watching this season for the Jaguars, because you're just like, are they ever going to get a win? And I remember they finally got their first win, I believe in, what was it, week six, in London. They won on this crazy, insane, like, long field goal, and it was just one of those games where it's like, oh my God, are you guys ever getting a win on this season, not only this season, but Jesus, ever. And they finally did get a win, and it was just a pathetic couple of seasons from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then at number two on our top five losing streaks, the 1976-1977 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They went on a 26-game losing streak, and this spanned also through two seasons. Now, they were an expansion team, so expansion teams don't usually get the best players. It's just you're a brand new team. It's really difficult to actually be even halfway decent, let alone good, if you're an expansion team. But, I mean, this was a really pathetic time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. In 1976, they didn't win a game. They went 0-14, and it was so pathetic that they didn't even get their first score. They didn't even score their first points until the third game of the season, but didn't even score their first touchdown until the fourth game of the season. And they lost more, by more than a touchdown in 11 total games on that season, where they lost 14 games. Then heading into the 1977 season, they didn't win a game until the second to last week of the season, in which they actually would go on a little bit of a winning streak and win the last two games of the season and ended up with a 2-12 record in the 1977 season. But it is by far one of the biggest, losingest teams ever in the history of sports. And I know I didn't put them at number one. I will explain to you further why number one is number one. But number two, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers of 76 and 77, it was difficult to not put them at one. But there's one reason why I put another team above them. But this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, if you are a football fan in any way, shape, or form, even if you didn't watch this team play, we all know that this is one of the worst teams to ever be in the NFL at any point in time in the NFL's history. And it was just a pathetic time for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And hey, now this team actually has two Super Bowl championships to brag about. So they at least have that now. But their start to their franchise was just terrible. And it's so terrible that it's just extremely memorable. And it's actually the second longest NFL losing streak. There's, I believe it's like the 1942-43. St. Louis Cardinals have, I believe, 28-game losing streak. But to me, since it's not like the actual, it wasn't really the NFL yet, I don't count that. And so this is really, in the NFL's history, the longest losing streak ever. And it was to start your franchise out. So that's pretty pathetic. But at number one on my top five losing streaks is actually the 2007 through 2009 Detroit Lions. Now, their losing streak wasn't as long as the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Tampa Bay Bucks was 26 games straight. The Detroit Lions was 19 games straight. But the reason why I put them number one is because this losing streak spanned three seasons, okay? When your losing streak expands through three seasons, you are a pathetic bag of crap team, and I couldn't not put them at number one simply because of that. Now, in 2007, their regular season record wasn't terrible. It was 7-9, but October 28th was their last road win, and they would ultimately go on to lose 26 road games in a row after that. And in that season, or two seasons after, or in that season alone, they would go through two seasons, through the 07 and 08 season, they would go 0-8 on the road. And that's just how pathetic they were. But then you go into the 2008 season after that 7-9 season. So that 7-9 season, the losing streak began the final week of the season in 2007. So heading into the 2008 season, you're thinking, oh, a 7-9 season, they should improve upon that. Well, no, the Lions actually went 0-16. They are the first team in the history of the NFL to go 0-16. This is another reason why I put them above that Tampa Bay Bucs team, because when you're the first to do such a thing, I'm sorry, you got to be put up there. And the reason why this beat the Bucs is because that Buccaneers team, they only played 12 games They played 14 games in a season, whereas you then in the 2008 season, you played 16 games in a season. So the Lions went 0-16 and were the first to ever do that. So you get some kudos there. Then you head into the 2009 season, in which they went 2-14 in the regular season. So they had a two-game improvement, but they didn't get their first win until week three. So that 19-game losing streak started week 17 of the 2007 season. Then they didn't win one game in the 2008 season. And then they finally got their first win in 2009 in week three. But like I said, would go on to be 2-14 in that season. So they didn't do a lot of winning then either in 2009. As a matter of fact, the 2008-2009 season used to be the worst two-season span ever because their record was 2-30. But the 2016 Cleveland Browns, which, like I said, to start this list, there was a team that I left off, and this is it, the 2016 Cleveland Browns. Like I said, I wanted to sprinkle a couple other sports in this, but the reason why I left the Browns off is because it kind of feels like the Browns are always in a constant state of losing. So them being one of the worst teams ever really isn't that surprising. Not that the Lions have a better history of winning, but come on now, it's the Cleveland Browns. They're terrible. They've always been terrible. So in 2016, the Cleveland Browns ended up going 1-31 over a two-season span. The 2016-2017 Cleveland Browns. So that ended up beating that record that the Detroit Lions set. But I mean, the reason why I put the Lions at number one, spanned over three seasons. They lost 26 straight road games after October 28th of 2007. They set the record in 2008 by the most losses ever, going 0-16, the first team to ever do that. And then, of course, the worst two seasons in a row with 2008-2009 to start that with 2-30 record, with, of course, the Cleveland Browns beating that record at 1-31. So there you have it. But the Detroit Lions, I just think that Detroit Lions, I remember watching that Detroit Lions team, and I'm just thinking, like, are y'all ever going to get a win? And now you look at them, they are actually a legitimate playoff team, so congrats to them. But yeah, those losing streaks, they get pretty bad. Sometimes your team suffers through them. But, you know, you really actually look at it. A lot of these teams, except for the Jaguars and the Lions, and then the Browns, of course. But, you know, the Pistons, they've actually had their heydays. They've won championships. So you're going to go through your lulls, and then you got the Baltimore Orioles. They've also won championships, and now here they are, one of the top teams in the league this season. The Jaguars, they've never been anything good, so who knows what's going to happen there. We're pretty much used to them losing as well. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like I said, they've got two championships under their belt now. And then the Detroit Lions, while they've been a laughing stock right up there with the Cleveland Browns, while I think the Browns are probably still going to be terrible, the Lions, they actually have some promise. I think they're a legitimate playoff contender going into this season, at least so far. Obviously, I haven't done my NFL predictions just yet. Once we get closer to the season, I'll be doing that. But yeah, you look at some of these losing streaks, and if your team is terrible, like the Chicago White Sox going on that 21-game losing streak, hey, you got to remember, this team actually has won a World Series themselves, what was it, like 20 years ago, maybe like 18, 19 years ago, more so. But still, this has been a legit franchise. It's just sometimes you suck. It happens to every team. Sometimes you're on top, and sometimes you're on the complete motherfucking bottom, like the Chicago White Sox are this season. And the Detroit Pistons were just in this last NBA season. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.